to commence with hymn 1009. Lord, I approach thy throne of grace, where mercy does abound, desiring mercy for my sin, to heal my soul's deep wound. 1009.
Read together for our instruction from the prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 3. The prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 3. They say, if a man put away his wife, and she go from him, and become another man's, shall he return unto her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted? But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers, yet return again to me, saith the Lord. Lift up thine eyes unto the high places, and see where thou hast not been lain with. In the ways hast thou sat for them, as the Arabian in the wilderness, and thou hast polluted the land with thy whoredoms, and with thy wickedness. Therefore these showers have been withholden, and there has been no latter rain, and thou hast a whore's forehead, thou refusest to be ashamed. Wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, my Father, thou art the guide of my youth? Will he reserve his anger for ever? Will he keep it to the end? Behold, thou hast spoken and done evil things as thou couldest. The Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She has gone up upon every high mountain, and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me. But she returned not, and her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And I saw, when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce, yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. And it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom that she defiled the land, and committed adultery with stones and with stocks. And yet for all this, her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but feignedly, saith the Lord. And the Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah. Go and proclaim these words toward the north, and say, return thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger for ever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city, and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And it shall come to pass, when ye be multiplied and increased in the land in those days, saith the Lord, they shall say no more, the ark of the covenant of the Lord, neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall that be done any more. At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. In those days the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north, to the land that I have given for an inheritance unto our fathers. But I said, how shall I put thee among the children, and give thee a pleasant land, a goodly heritage of the hosts of nations? And I said, thou shalt call me my father, and shalt not turn away from me. Surely as a wife treacherously departeth from her husband, so have ye dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. A voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplications of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way, and they have forgotten the Lord their God. Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. Truly, in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills, and from the multitude of mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. For shame hath devoured the labour of our fathers from our youth, their flocks and their herds, their sons and their daughters. We lie down in our shame, and our confusion covereth us, for we have sinned against the Lord our God. We and our fathers, from our youth even unto this day, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. The Lord teach us from his own holy and precious instructive word, and help us to pray. Grant, O gracious Lord, that spirit of confession whereby we may take with us words and turn unto thee. For we acknowledge that thou art a holy God, a just one who must do as he sees right amongst all the armies of heaven and amongst the inhabitants of the earth. But Lord, if as it has been already said, if there shall this mark iniquity, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. We venture therefore in that hope, that thou wilt not deal with us according to our sin, nor reward us according to our iniquity, but thy mercy might be felt and realized toward us, and that thou mayest speak unto us by thy Spirit, that it may enter deep into our souls and give us that hope that we shall not be left to perish altogether, but that thou wilt redeem us with that redemption whereby we again may not then be cast out and away from thy presence. But Lord, if thou dost hide thy face, we read it is but for a small moment, and thou didst speak to thy people of old, these things will be as the waters of Noah unto thee. But with loving kindness wouldst thou gather, and Lord, we therefore plead that loving kindness, that thou mayest pour it forth from heaven into our souls, warm our hearts, draw us with those cords of a man those bands of love. Bring us to know, O Lord, that thou art ours and we are thine. Give us, Lord, that hope in thy infinite mercy, a confidence in thy rich grace, a knowledge, O Lord, that we may know and understand what thou hast done for unworthy sinners, that we may also know what thou hast prepared even for such, to lift them up from the dunghill, to set them among princes, to grant to them those things which it may seem incredible for any such beggars to receive. But, O Lord, we come, we trust as beggars poor at mercy's door. But, what we may draw with a plea from thee may far exceed what we can ask or even think. And therefore, O Lord, we seek that indicted prayer, that we might, with those groanings that cannot be uttered, yet through that thou mayest be very favourable unto us, and break through, Lord, the clouds that seem to obscure thee from our sight, even the eye of faith. And then, O Lord, what comfort can we have when thou dost hide thyself? Oh, could it please thee, Lord, to come, to revive in our own breast, kindle that love, draw us, Lord, after thee, then shall not we run. Help us, Lord, to run in the way of thy commandments, and shall it not be when thou shalt enlarge our heart? Oh, then, O Lord, we do desire that even the word that we have read, it may perhaps bring a sense or felt a condemnation, for we have sinned. Perhaps it has outlined the very state of some. They have felt to fall under the solemn word, but Lord, may it be that from that there is the earnest cry which thou must regard, and then send thy answers of peace. Thou didst also speak what thou wouldest do, that thou wouldest not turn them away altogether, but thou didst say thou wouldest bring them. And so, Lord, do bring us. Bring us to know that way, a sweet, blessed access through the rent veil, which is to say Christ's flesh. Oh, that we might know the blessings of a sin bearer, he who was made to be sin, that he might be the righteousness of his people. Oh, that we might know, dear Lord, something of that in a true experimental way. We pray, Lord, to be preserved from formalism, having a knowledge, and yet, O Lord, not a feeling or realizing the reality of those things. But, Lord, if thou dost give us the true wisdom, that wisdom which is peaceable easy to be entreated. The wisdom which comes from thee, may we not know then that it is a wisdom given, a wisdom imparted, a wisdom whereby we may know indeed. Oh, then may we find there is that growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We now seek to commend unto thee, O Lord, the people. Thou knowest their particular need. Thou seest every heart. Thou knowest all their circumstances. Lord, we do commend them to thee. We would remember, Lord, those that may be in sickness, not perhaps such that may detain them from the house of God, but nonetheless, Lord, there is that which may bring much concern to them, many fears. When we find these indispositions, they may bring many questions. And Lord, if we are faced with that sense of dying, it may be the great question arises as to how the case stands with our soul. And is it well? Is it well? Yet, Lord, grant an answer of peace, we pray. But others, O Lord, they may have their varied trials, things that may not be realized by others, yet many things burden them. Do grant them help to commit their way unto thee. And maybe that is the word that they are desiring to hear. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. Impossibilities with man, but all things are possible with thee. Lord, we do therefore pray that thou wilt grant thy appearing, grant to them that appearing of strength and help in the felt day of their weakness and insufficiency. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt grant thy mercy to the downcast, lift them up. To those who may feel that they are out of the way, yet bring them again, feelingly into it. Lord, we therefore pray for them in their spiritual and in their providential needs. And Lord, thou hast been very gracious, we believe, and merciful to them. Thou hast brought such from the borders of death. And we would thank thee that through the hospital treatment there has been that strength given. Though still feeling weakness, yet may we not see, Lord, in due time, the fullness of strength granted. Oh, we would, Lord, thank thee for present mercies, and still ask for more. We do, Lord, pray that thou would also sanctify to the soul's good, of all of that may be concerned, in the varying trials and troubles that may afflict, and that there will be that effect and a good outcome. Oh Lord, we would pray for thy healing touch, even to those who may be in that place where they know not which way things may go. But Lord, thou art able to be to them far more than what they may fear. Lord, we do pray that thou would also now grant that help in ministering the word, or that it might be a word in season, a word that goes forth with power in the Holy Ghost. We would thank thee, Lord, that thou hast brought those here in peace and safety, despite the inclement weather. There may have been those that are detained. We would commend them to thee, some through their increasing age and infirmities, confined to their homes. And Lord, perhaps some that may come a little distance, and they not able therefore to come. Some may be away. We do commend them to thee where they are. We would remember, Lord, the varying churches in their gatherings, and some, as we understand, because of the conditions, have not been able, or do not anticipate being able, to hold their normal services. Lord, if there are two or three gathered together in the varying homes that seek to take the opportunity to worship as they may be able to, do bless them then in those situations. And so, Lord, we remember all thy people, and those that are scattered abroad across the face of the earth, many that we may know nothing about, and some that may suffer greatly at the hands of their enemies. But oh, we do commend them into thy hands, knowing that in thy favour thou hast given us many years, indeed decades, of liberty, not having any hindrance in our gathering together. But Lord, we know it is not so with all. So we would remember them and thank thee for the day of liberty. And now, Lord, do pardon us of all our many sins. We bear before thee our sinful land. Do appear, Lord, for us, as Nehemiah pleaded for the sins of the people, and Daniel also. So, Lord, would we desire to pray, knowing this, that we are but a part of our sinful nation. Lord, could it please thee to rend the heavens and come down to prevent the devices of evil men from being furthered and accomplished. But oh, may there be the readiness to receive the words that are true and faithful and of good report. So hear us in all these things and much beside. We ask it for Christ's sake. Amen.
981. Why should I yield to slavish fears? God is the same to endless years. Though clouds and darkness hide his face, he's boundless both in truth and grace. 981.
as the Lord may be pleased to help me, I would direct your attention to the prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 3, and read in the 19th verse. But I said, how shall I put thee among the children, and give thee a pleasant land, a goodly heritage of the house of nations? And I said, thou shalt call me my father, and shalt not turn away from me. The prophecy of Jeremiah, the 3rd chapter and the 19th verse. And I said, how shall I put thee among the children, and give thee a pleasant land, a goodly heritage of the hosts of nations? And I said, thou shalt call me my father, and thou shalt not turn away from me. It is the Lord speaking. How very solemn when he puts such a question to us. How shall I put thee among the children? Israel had been a backsliding people. They'd gone after idols of their own flesh. The things that they had sought after, which were not God-honouring. Though it may be plain for all to see the declension that there was in Israel, already at this time they had been taken captive. What little effect it had upon treacherous Judah. And how that we find, whether by these examples and these evidences, unless the Lord restrains, unless the Lord graciously prevents, we will be no better. We can point no finger at the children of Israel of old. They had every evidence of the Lord's gracious dealings. He had brought them out of Egypt by a great and mighty arm. And yet the Lord's dealings that may have taken place in the youth of our spiritual birth and continuance in that birth, yet have we found that through the carnality of our own heart that seems to have got the better of us, we have fallen and turned away. Is there mercy? Can there be for such a vile and sinful wretch as those that have been left to themselves? Perhaps some of you may say, well, I have not been left like that, and therefore this verse can have nothing for me. When we may consider the times that are past, our first love, was it not the solemn accusation of the Spirit to the church at Ephesus that they had left their first love? Is that our sin? That we are cold? We can never glory in coldness, though when we are left to such a state, we have no power in ourselves to cause the sun to shine in its warmth. It is the sun alone that must break forth with its powerful beams. What a difference there is when the Son of Righteousness arises with healing in his wings. But to a cold, hardened, I say hardened sinner, that is what you feel. That is what has brought you now into an exercise, fearing lest you should be a castaway. One who has gone beyond all the possibility of any hope, destitute, and therefore ready to perish. Yet, here we come to bring unto you some little hope, as there was with Israel and with Judah of old. Despite the sad and solemn state into which they had fallen, their declension, their desolation, their turning away, yet they were to prove the Lord was still the same. We have an unchanging God, a God who, having loved his own, loves them to the end. A God who has spoken in this prophecy later on, and when we consider the words of the prophet, sometimes you may come to those places where it entirely cuts you off. But though the word of the Lord may seem to cut you off, we do not find that it leaves anyone of the tried and troubled people of God to be left in that place. And so we find repeatedly Jeremiah, amongst the other prophets, then speak words of gracious promise and sweet, comfortable words of blessing. What a word that is, therefore, that we read as we turn and open on that 31st chapter of this prophecy. Remember that poor Israel had not really come to be much better. Yet here was the word of consolation. Thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Again I will build thee, and thou shalt be built. I notice the text above, our opening hymn was based upon this verse that we have again in this prophecy. And again, Israel, how they had departed. Yet, here the prophet speaks words of encouragement. And it is in this way, as though he addresses them personally. The glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. O Lord, the hope of Israel. All that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. But here is the cry that comes deep from the soul of all those that tremble at the solemn word of God. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. That is what the Lord is to the living soul, despite the variations that the soul may encounter and experience, yet the Lord is still our praise. And you may say, but I cannot praise him. Yet, remember the words of the psalmist in that 42nd psalm, a very real and sometimes a very fitting psalm for the downcast and the desolate ones. We find the soliloquizing of the soul. It comes to these words, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. And on what condition, on what account? For the help of his countenance. Well, when the Lord looks upon us, when the Lord may perhaps first of all seem to frown, but only to teach us what we are by our poor sinful nature, only to prepare us for that condition of confession and repentance. If he does not chide us, then will we repent? If he does not show us our sins, will we turn from them? But in the showing of those sins, the bringing us into those depths, is a very painful experience. It is something which will bring you to be at the ends of the earth. But what then does the Lord speak from the ends of the earth? Well, two things come to mind. Again, the psalmist said, from the ends of the earth will I look unto thee. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And again, look unto me, all the ends of the earth, and be ye saved, for I am God, and there is none else. Well, there may be one here that is under deep conviction of sin, or one here that has fallen into sad and solemn backsliding of spirit, not perhaps outward backsliding, but a backsliding that is felt and known in your own heart. And may the Lord speak. But these words that we bring before you, they may first of all seem to be words where there's no hope. How shall I put thee among the children? Lord, I'm such a vile wretch, I cannot answer it. I can only fear that thou wilt cast me out forever and ever. By what means can I be put among the children? Where is there any consolation for me? Are these the thoughts of your heart? Well, it's the Lord's infinite mercy that he answers his own question. Do you know, only the Lord can answer his questions. And he will answer his questions. He answers them according to his divine purpose, and his purposes will always have a good and certain end when they are concerning his own dear people. So if such a question may go right to the very heart and being of your soul, and bring you to tremble and fear that such a question will leave you as desolate and without hope, then be sure that the Lord will answer and give you hope. Because the Lord never does anything by halves, so to speak. His work is a complete work. He says, I kill and I heal. He says that he will cast down, throw down, but he says, I will build. So the Lord puts it that way. That is the right order of things. If he does not kill our older self of any of all hope, then what hope will there be of any building up, any true, real life? Whilst we may therefore be able to stand in our own strength, what need do we have of a God who can hold us up? But when in weakness, when we've been brought to know and feel our utter wretchedness and helplessness, then we prove he is a God who in all that he may speak, it is to this end that he may give and speak a word which is in season to your soul and for the lifting up, for the encouraging, for the hope. Well, how shall I put thee among the children? This is the answer. And I said, thou shalt call me my Father. It could not be a greater blessing, nor for any to know the greater privilege than to call our God my Father. It was the desire of the hymn writer, my God, my Father, blissful name, oh, may I call thee mine. May I with sweet assurance claim a portion so divine. And here the Lord speaks that portion. Thou shalt call me my Father. When the prodigal had left his home and had squandered all that his father had given him and was brought to penury and had wasted his substance, what did he say? Well, he considered his father's house, and he was a son. Going away never changed what he was as with regard to the family relationship. There was no excuse for him going away. Indeed, oh, that he had been as his elder brother and continued with his father in all of the things that his father was pleased that his son should do. But we know that here was a prodigal, a wayward one. But this is the first point that we must make. You see, chosen of God before time began, elect. That is what will make us a son or a daughter of God. That cannot be broken. What a mercy. What a foundation. If it depended upon you doing some good work, if you did a good work today, you would soon fail tomorrow. And if received into the house today, you may well be cast out tomorrow. But the Lord's work is not like that. He has made it sure from the very beginning, despite what we are. Our poor fickle heart and fickle nature. Therefore this word that he speaks has a certainty to it. And it is based upon a very clear and firm foundation. Thou shalt call me my Father. When we read therefore down that account of the prodigal son, what do we find the son calling his father when he returns? First of all, he says this: how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare my father's house? Then he says, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And then we read this: having returned and come to his father and fallen into his embrace, he says, the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. See then how the returning prodigal, the base backslider, shall call him Father, and yet perhaps feeling so unworthy to call him Father, dare hardly take the name upon the lip. And yet here is the evidence that a returning prodigal may know that God is his Father. We read in the prophecy of Isaiah the lament, as it were, of the church. Yet it comes to this and says, we'll read the previous verse: look down from heaven and behold from the habitation of thy holiness and of thy glory. Where is the zeal of thy strength, the sounding of thy bowels and of thy mercies toward me? Are they restrained? The church pleading before God, but goes on to say, doubtless thou art our Father, though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not. You may feel that you are a speckled bird, so to speak. You cannot find any rest in this world on the one hand, and yet you feel unrecognized by the Church of God. And therefore, you fear that you will be but as rebuked and passed by the people of God. And you may perhaps, seemingly for a time, But you know, when the Lord breaks their hearts and touches them and gives them a sight to see that here is a poor returning prodigal, and they themselves can relate to it, having walked the path, knowing that they are themselves no better, then there will be a willingness to acknowledge and to receive you, even into the habitations of the dwellings of the Lord's people. Well, you shall say this. Thou shalt call me my Father, and shalt not turn away from me. It seems to me that here the Lord so graciously bestows upon his poor contrite ones such a blessing that it should be said by such, my Father. It does not say that thou shalt be my children, though that would be perfectly true. If that could be said, and the Lord would speak it, that we are his children, that is a great blessing indeed. But I seek to convey to you something far richer, in that the Lord puts it this way, that thou shalt say, my Father. It is therefore something which you are brought to feel and experience is not just a mere fact. It is something which you have been able, through the mercy of God, to lay hold upon and to call him what indeed he is and what he has made you in that relationship with himself, so that every particular point of doctrine concerning the family of God may be summed up in this sweet and blessed response of your soul when you can say, my Father. To try and explain a little further, we have here the blessed doctrine of adoption. Now, you may say, adoption, that is above me. I cannot attain unto that. But the Lord condescends to come so low. Let us just consider a case. Dear Mary Magdalene, out of whom the Lord cast the 7 devils, she was brought to say, my Father. And not only so, when she had come to the tomb, seen it empty, could hardly believe the words of the angel that told her that he was risen. Turning her back, she saw one whom she supposed to be the gardener. Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him. Oh, we find that here her very love had been stirred to the very depths of her soul. What a mercy if the sufferings and death of a Saviour who alone can save us, brought to testify with Jonah, salvation is of the Lord. There in the depths of the whale's belly, or the fish's belly, did Jonah express that. Here Mary Magdalene was to see the fullness of that salvation and to experience it in the words of her Saviour, who replied, Mary. But then what? Touch me not. I ascend unto my God and unto your God, unto my Father and your Father. Mary brought from the very depths, my well therefore, know the adoptive grace of her God, and the gracious exhorting of her Saviour in to faith, to view that he should ascend unto her father. Well, what can we say then when we find such a sacred term is being used? It means that the Lord conveys into the very soul that he is yours and that you are his. Well, thou shalt say, call me my Father. That so he who speaks certainties, the yea and the amen, he says that thou shalt call me my Father. It is therefore the privilege and blessing that a son, a daughter is brought into, and to realize how we are brought to it. Well, we feel to need much help to set before you these sacred things. But this is the first thing that I wish to set before you. He is our Father, our only, as we are made sons through his own dear Son. You see, he who came into this world is the only begotten of the Father. He came to dwell amongst us, that he might call his many sons unto glory, that they should be manifest as such. When therefore we view the condescending Son of God, found in the form of a servant, was willing to do all that his Father had given him to do. And he need have no reserve in calling him his Father. There was nothing between him and his Father, as there is between our God and us. What is between our God and us? It's that sin, isn't it? But if sin be pardoned, then we are secure. But how is sin pardoned? Only through the justifying merits of the dear Son of God. He who must therefore come in the likeness of sinful flesh, to condemn sin in the flesh, to be the righteousness of his people. And thou shalt call me my Father. The son, the prodigal son, if I may return to that, there's so much in it. When he returned, his father first commanded that the best robe should be brought forth. What was that best robe? The best robe that could be given to a son was the robe that signified inheritance. Generally, it was the eldest son who would inherit what was his father's. We find that that is so with Abraham when he sent away the sons of Keturah and said that they should not inherit or have any part with his only son, Isaac. Isaac was the son of his love. All that Abraham therefore possessed must be Isaac's. Nonetheless, he sent those away with a present, and it was in that they may have a little consolation, but I will not go into that at this particular juncture. But the thing is this, that Joseph received of Isaac a robe, a garment of many colours, a coat of many colours. It was that which signified him as being regarded in Isaac's eyes as an heir. Hence the jealousy of the brethren who despised and hated him. But we find with those who may have been left to themselves, brought again, we find that the Father who says, "This my son was lost and now is found," has ordered that the best robe should be brought forth. But what robe is it? Well, it's no less than the robe of his imputed righteousness. What a thing that should first be brought forth. That which may be a token to you that your sins are forgiven, that they're blotted out, that they're cast out, that you now have not a nakedness to present, but a covering. Your nakedness will only evidence that you can have no part or share. But we strive ever not to be found naked, but clothed upon, that mortality may be swallowed up of life. Mortality will always show its nakedness, but when the Lord brings immortality and life to light, then the best robe for a covering is brought forth. And thou shalt call me my Father. Good ground, isn't it, to call him Father, when the best robe, though undeserved,
though you feel so unworthy of it, yet he has brought forth the best robe to put it on you. How did the dear prodigal return? What would he ask to be made as an hired servant? What is the response of the Father to bring forth that which would show him he was no hired servant, and therefore, though the humility of the prodigal was willing to have the lowest place in the house, yet the Father would give him the place of which he had had purpose because he was his son. But now he would again be brought to know and feel that he was a son. Now that is the experience of a sweet adoption, brought again into the family. It is like this, that a son, when born, is a son, and yet under tutors and governors, as the apostle sets before us, and I think it is the epistle to the Galatians, they are looked upon as no more than servants until the time comes when they are, by a particular ceremony that would take place in the family of the, according to the custom of the day, then be inaugurated into sonship. They were sons, but now this was the very spirit of adoption, that they may know themselves and be looked upon and considered as the sons indeed. Then they may call their father my father. Now that is what the Lord does when he brings us again. He brings us out from darkness into his light, and he gives us a hope in his mercy, and he speaks to us comfortable words, and he says, your warfare is accomplished, thine iniquity is pardoned, ye shall receive double for all your sins, and they shall call me my father. What a sacred thing, therefore, if the Lord has brought you into call him this, however trembling it may be. I must conclude. As my thoughts go, I conclude on this note. What has the Lord brought you under? Perhaps in recent days, have you known his chastening hand? Has it seemed to be so severe that you have wondered whether you can ever claim this title and call him your father? Well, this is what he might speak. And you may find that this comes first. My son. My son, despise not there the chastening of the Lord. It's gone from me. You know the word, no doubt. I will just look it up and quote it to you. My son, despise not there the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? In the midst of his chastening, you may acknowledge him as my Father. You may have to plead Lord, do not lay upon me more than I can bear. But the Lord, he will not always try. He will not always be afflicted. No, it is but to teach us that he has a watchful eye, that he is ever concerned lest we should be left to go astray. If we go astray, there's bringing back. But under this chastening, there is gracious keeping. And as a son, he will keep you. Therefore, what a sweet evidence that he is your father, my father. Well, may the Lord bless these remarks and help us to meditate upon them. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day amounted to £630, for which we're very thankful. God willing, Mr. Ince is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Warren next Lord's Day. Hymn 1035. Return, my wandering heart, to thy dear resting place. Nothing in nature nor in art so fair as Jesus' face. 1035.
the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us. Evermore, amen.